Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 10. Prahlad, the best amongst exalted devotees, beginning with text number 25. Parashada sumukham drishtva Brahmanara harim harim Stutva bhagvi Pavitrabi Praha Deva Divir Vrita. Translation: Lord Brahma, surrounded by the other demigods, was bright faced because the Lord was pleased. Thus he offered prayers to the Lord with transcendental words. Text 26. Lord Brahma said, O Supreme Lord of Lords, Proprietor of the entire universe, O Benedictor of all living entities, O Original Person, Adi Purusha, because of our good fortune, you have now killed the sinful demon who is giving trouble to the entire universe. Purport. The word Puravaja is described in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Savasya Pabhavo Matasarvam Pravartate. All the demigods, including Lord Brahma, are manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the original person, the cause of all causes, is Govinda, the Adi Purusha. Text 27. This demon, Hiranyakashipu, received from me the benediction that he would not be killed by any living being within my creation. With this assurance, and with strength derived from austerities and mystic power, he became excessively proud and transgressed all Vedic injunction. Text 28. By great fortune, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad Maharaj, has now been released from death. For although he is a child, he is an exalted devotee. Now he is fully under the protection of your lotus feet. Text 29. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If one meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. Purport. Everyone is sure to die, for no one is excused from the hands of death, which is but a feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mrityu Sarva Harashtaham. When one becomes a devotee, however, he is not destined to die according to a limited duration of life. Everyone has a limited duration of life, but a devotee's lifetime can be extended by the mercy of the Supreme Lord, who is able to nullify the results of one's karma. Karmani nidrahati kintu jabhakti bhajam. This is the statement of Brahma Samhita 5.54. A devotee is not under the laws of karma. Therefore, even a devotee's scheduled death can be avoided by the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. God protects the devotee even from the extreme danger of death. I'll read the text 29, which will be the principal subject matter of our talk tonight. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the Supreme Soul. If someone meditates upon your transcendental body, you naturally protect him from all sources of fear, even the imminent danger of death. So in this potent verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear how the Lord, we hear from Brahma, how the Lord promises his devotee protection in this world from the dangers of material existence, even up to the point of prolonging his imminent death. Actually, a devotee is eager for that protection. Number one, so that he has sufficient time to finish up his Krishna consciousness. because time is working against us, actually. And we know how difficult it is to reach perfection in Krishna consciousness. We have not even come to the stage of Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha to Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivriti Shyat. Anartha Nivriti means of purifying our hearts of all unwanted things so that the fertile seed of bhakti can grow very naturally without obstacles. We're still working on that. We're still scrubbing the pot, so to speak, of all the dirty things like lust and anger and greed. Because pure bhakti cannot grow within that environment. But that's only 50% of the process. The next is really cultivating that tender creeper of devotion, becoming steady in Krishna consciousness, getting a genuine taste of Krishna consciousness, developing bhava, to speak of coming to the stage of pure devotional service. It takes time. Therefore, Krishna says, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sadurlabha. After many, many births and deaths, the one who is in full knowledge surrenders to me. It takes time. Of course, slow but steady wins the race, but we want to make sure that we're across the finish line by the time we die. So we accept the Lord's benediction, that he'll protect us in this world so that we have a natural duration. We can live out our natural duration of life. I remember when in 1971 there was a terrible car accident within our society. Devotees were coming back from New York with some paraphernalia that they'd purchased for our Detroit temple. And there was an accident, and One of my godbrothers, his name was Jananivas. He was a Afro-American devotee. He died in that accident. Petit Udaran was severely injured, and it was something, a big tragedy. And Prabhupada wrote, I remember the letter he wrote posthumously, as he did several times to his disciples after their departure. He said that your death was untimely. Untimely, meaning that it was unfortunate that he was not able to live out a natural life. We'd all like to live to, you know, the ripe old age of 70 or 80, 90, but not after that. Then it becomes really difficult. You can't even walk. I remember visiting Prabhupada's godbrother, Puri Maharaj. He was 101 in Bhubaneswar. He was very affectionate to us and a well-wisher of Srila Prabhupada's movement in every way. And I visited him, and he was very advanced devotee, but he could just lay there and just chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. He said, I am ready to go. So 101. Increases your chances. Ado Shuddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Tata Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nivriti Shat Scrub-a-dub-dub. Lust, anger, greed. And then the real nectar begins. Prabhupada said that really bhakti begins, real devotion begins, when one is completely freed from sex desire. And this is our public enemy number one, sex desire. It is lust only, Arjuna, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy in this world. So that takes time. We hear the famous story of the minister who took his king to the hospice where the old man was dying, along with the princess, the king's daughter. And that minister said, you just see how this sex desire stays in the heart even to death and beyond. And the king said, no, not possible in old age. And they went, and sure enough, the eyes of the old sick man in the hospice didn't fall upon the king or his minister, but upon the beautiful young girl. So scrub-a-dub-dub. We have to really, it takes time. Just like you burn the milk in the pot, you try to clean the pot. You get one of those wire brushes, you got to get Ajax, you know, you scrub, and you get elbow grease, they say. Whew. Then you can cook again. So real devotion begins when the heart is freed, Prabhupada said, particularly from sex desire. So we ask the Lord to please give us, to protect us in our devotional service so we can do that. And number two, we're also thinking. Prabhupada said, think big. One time he said to the devotees of a particular project, don't just think of the world first, world ISKCON, and then your own project. This is the real unity in ISKCON. We have our Prabhu.desh, but we can't forget the greater ISKCON and our obligation. Actually, the temples of Bombay and Vrindavan were built with the proceeds from American Sankirtan. And Mayapur was built from the proceeds of Australian book distribution. Think of the world first and then your temple. So we're also thinking about ourselves, but Vaishnava, simultaneously, there's always one indifferent in Krishna consciousness. Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. Along with our own deliverance, we're also concerned about the deliverance of others. That is one of our meditations, and this is one way that we ourselves become purified, by caring about and engaging in activities which will deliver others from this repetition of birth and death to Krishna consciousness. This is one way we become purified, by being concerned of the spiritual welfare of others. It's the fast track. It's the fast track. Just like you can take the stairs, you can take the elevator. The stairs are slower, elevator is very quick. So you want to become purified? Then you'd be concerned about others' purification. And you'll make more advance than just being concerned about yourself. How? Because you'll get Guru and Gauranga's blessings. And that's how we make advancement in Krishna consciousness. We don't make advancement necessarily with our own efforts to scrub the pot. Any advancement we make in Krishna consciousness is by the combined effort of Guru and Gauranga, the spiritual master and Lord Chaitanya. So if you work for the welfare of others, then you will get blessings. So two things. We need time to perform our bhajan, to become purified, but we also ask for more time. We want protection so that we have time to fulfill the desires of our spiritual master to see this Krishna conscious movement established all over the world. We don't think, oh, my life is now complete. I have made some nice progress in Krishna consciousness. I earned my university degree and I got a career and I raised a family. Now my children are grown and they're in the university and they're about to be married and I've done well in life. No. Yes, yes. Yes and no. Yes, because that is a very important responsibility. But we see things through the eyes of Guru. And what is the desire burning in Prabhupada's heart? And just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said, I will only be satisfied when the 14 worlds are chanting Hare Krishna. So really, a Vaishnava, he's not really satisfied until his guru is satisfied. He knows his guru is satisfied if he's lived a responsible life and raised his family and lived in a nice Krishna-conscious community. But he's thinking that my spiritual master has very broad vision. He wants to see Krishna consciousness spread all over the world, where there's temples with beautiful deity worship and wonderful restaurants where people can come and taste Krishna Prasadam, become purified, and there's Bhakti Vriksha programs, and Namahata programs, and regular Sankirtan, and, Gurukuls established, that's a challenge, cow protection, Varnashram Dharma, a set of books in every house, These are Prabhupada's dreams. And even in material world, we know that people who have noble dreams, they live well beyond their own departure. Like Martin Luther King, it was his birthday celebration. Or I don't know if it was his birthday or the day that he was assassinated. It's part of the American calendar. And he had that famous statement, I have a dream. And that dream is beating in the hearts of the American people, that equality, that racial equality and freedom, you know, that's imbibed in our Constitution. It's still beating there, although he's gone. It's, you think it's actually a credit to the American people that such a noble thought is still beating strong in their hearts. So what to speak of us? This is the real dream, real equality. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmani gavi hastani sunichaiva sapakicha pandita sundarshanaha. That a truly learned person, he sees the equality of all living entities and he treats them accordingly. So Prabhupada's dream is a very Mahaprabhu's dream, that the Krishna conscious movement become actually established. It becomes like the norm. Sometimes it's hard to see how that vision will take place. But we have faith that it will, because that is Krishna's desire. And he could do it in one moment, but he's giving us the opportunity for service. So we don't really want to quit this world until we've accomplished our service to Prabhupada. You don't go ask for more service unless you've accomplished the first task. You come, I'd like some more service. Well, did you complete the first task I gave you? No, sir. You go and you complete that. So we want service where? In the spiritual world. That's the desire, that in our heart of hearts, we want service in the spiritual world. But first, let us complete the task which our Guru has given us in this world. At least try our best within our short duration of life to establish Krishna consciousness as best we can. And then we can go and say, sir, the mission accomplished. So now you can take this other service. So we need time. These are things, it takes time to grow up. You have your child and you'd like to think, you know, when I'll hand the business over to my son and we'll be very close. So, you know, it takes years and years of years. So it takes time to grow and to help spread the movement. So in one sense, the odds are against us, because this is a very dangerous place we live. And when we live in a dangerous place, things move slowly. It's like I'm in communication with Parthasarathi Prabhu, that very wonderful devotee who's, you know, serving his country in Iraq. And, you know, because of the imminent danger of constant mortar attack, even in the green zone, you know, that's the area of Baghdad, which is supposed to be protected, but, you know, they insurgents are always launching, you know, like, rockets and blowing them up. Just a few days ago, Partha had to run from. He's having a little meeting with the devotees. Well, devotees, the soldiers that were interested in Krishna consciousness, and they came under mortar attack, and they had to run and go into the bunker and continue the class. The things move slowly when it's dangerous, and don't think that dangerous places are just like, you know, Iraq and Darfur. There's a saying that. Most accidents happen within 2 kilometers of the home. We live in a very dangerous place, so help Krishna so I can become Krishna conscious in this lifetime and try to help a few others. Of course, modern man is thinking that with material progress, the situation is getting better. We have better, more well-equipped police force, and we have improved medicines, and we have safer roads. This is a little bit of an illusion. It makes life look safer, but there's a saying that we learned in Europe that accidents happen even on the royal road. Just like in the old days in Europe, there used to be a special road between La Paris and La Versailles, because the king, he didn't live in Paris with all the people and the sweltering, you know, Kali Yuga city. No, he had his own residence, the king, Louis le XV, in Versailles, beautiful palace. And the road from Paris to Versailles was the best roads of that time. Very wide and secure, and there were troops along the way, and the king had his carriage. It was the king and queen, the only vehicle that would go that 15 kilometers from Paris to Versailles. But history shows that sometimes there were accidents, even on the royal road. The axle would break, and the carriage would tumble over, and the queen would tumble out and get a bump on her head. Or the prince would break his arm. And then the king would say to someone, whose head am I going to take off of this? Who has done this? No. There's accidents even on the, even though it's nicely paved and there's guards, there's accidents. So Bhagavatam says it straight. Padam padam yat vipadam natesham. Danger at every step. So how is it that people can go on in life oblivious of this? Well, we hide it in our Western culture. We have our hospitals and we have this and that. And, you know. But I often say my friend Gopaswami Das, when people come into the emergency ward where he works, they always say, hey doc, I never thought this would happen to me. So how is it that people can go on oblivious to these dangers, which for a devotee are an impetus for taking shelter of Krishna? The answer is that being so enchanted by the so-called happiness of this world, they become oblivious to the danger. Just like a deer, she goes down to the lake to drink water, and she's drinking the water, and then she sees her beautiful reflection. And she's thinking, oh, how cute. Who is that? Oh, that's me. And she's drinking, and she's just so absorbed in this her own reflection, she doesn't notice the tiger of death stalking her from behind. And he comes up very quietly and pounces on her and eats her. So we're in the same situation. We're mesmerized by the false promise of happiness in this world, and even more so now than ever before. Because now you have, you know, the reflection becomes like virtual reality. They make it look so real that it's more real than the real thing. They have those theaters, they call them Maximum or something? IMAXIMUM? IMAX. You go in the IMAX? I was there one time, I have to admit. There was a movie on the founder of the Swaminarayan movement. What was that movie called?
Mystic India.
And I went to see it. And wow, was that an experience. It was so amazing. It was about his life, but it was, you know, so many beautiful pictures of India. They went to the Tibetan Plateau, they went to the Kali Gandaki, they zoomed down over Radha Govinda Temple in Jaipur, they went to Tirupati. And it's like, you know, because this whole thing's around you, it's like, whoa, you're like holding on. You're like actually there. It's like more real, because I've also been to the Tibetan Plateau, and I've been to, you know, Govindaji Temple, and I've been to, this is like even better than being there. Like, whoa, you're going like this. Science and technology has brought this, you know, the hope for enjoyment in this world to the upteenth degree. It's just like right there, you can grab it, and so people become mesmerized by it. They're glued to their computers, to their iPods, you know, everything, and we become oblivious. Time is tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, ticking away. Hey, you're wasting time. You're missing the opportunity for Krishna consciousness. So we also become enchanted with our reflection. Dehapatya kala tadishu. Persons devoid of atmatattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. There it is in a nutshell. Elegance is truth spoken concisely. The Bhagavatam says, too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children and wife, and husband. Although sufficiently experienced, they do not see their inevitable destruction. However, we as devotees, we're aware of the dangers, at least we should be, so we use every minute in Krishna's service. We don't waste time. As Prabhupada said, If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. It's in that tape. We're constantly aware because we don't see through our eyes. We see this world through the eyes of Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So they're always reminding us, hey, Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. This is a temporary place full of misery. Don't get too attached. Your Atma in transit, Baba. Your Atma in transit. You're not going to be here very long time. You're in transit. So if you're in transit, hey, travel light. I know myself, you know. I've learned the hard way. Dragging, you know, first I started with 3 suitcases, then I was down to 2, and then I was down to 1, you know, and now, well, you know, travel light in this world. You're just an Atma in transit. You're not here very long. And you can be kicked out at any moment. Like the classic story I like to tell to university students. There's certain stories that really bring the point home, and they connect to this. You know, I say how the man checks into he's a traveling salesman, he checks into the hotel, and you know, it's kind of a medium class hotel. He's not very satisfied with the room, so he orders a crystal chandelier. And they come in, they put it in, and then he, you know, doesn't like the rugs, so there's some silk rugs he orders, you know, Persian carpets, and then he doesn't like the ceramic, you know, sink and the faucets, so he orders some, you know, marble and gold faucets like that, and a gold toilet seat, and and you know, whatever. And he fixes in the bedroom. He orders a new bed, and then this and that. And then, you know, 12 o'clock the next day, gets a call from the hotel office. So you have to check out. What do you mean, ma'am? I installed a chandelier here, and you know, gold faucets, and you know, marble floor. Sorry, sir. You know, this room has been reserved. You're out of here. So we're like that. We get in our little comfort zone and we fix it all up, and then death comes knocking on the door. Hey, I'm not ready. Excuse me, I'm not ready. Get out of here. Excuse me, sir, you're coming with us. We're never ready. It's much easier to be ready if you own very little, or if what you own you're not very attached to it. Same thing, yukta vairagya. If you ain't got nothing, you ain't got nothing to lose. Bob Dylan. She listened to his own songs. Like that. So you keep it simple. Because someday, it happens very quickly. So it's easier to leave if you don't have anything behind that you're attached to. And easier to leave if you've got something to look forward to that you're very attached to. Oh, so we're opening, you know, you're getting out of jail today, and you know your family's greeting you, and they've got a nice house for you and a car waiting for you. So no problem, I'm ready to go. But you don't want to stay here? No, sir. So devotees like that. Some people are, you don't want to stay here? No, sir. Where are you going? I'm going home, back to Godhead. Not hard for devotees to die. Dhiras tatana muyanti. Even an ordinary transcendentalist, if there's such a thing as an ordinary transcendentalist, dhiras tatana muyanti. He's not afraid of the change of bodies because he's dhira. He's sober. Sober means he's not like infatuated when there's some opportunity for enjoyment. And he's not unnecessarily disturbed when there's tragedy. He's equipoised. Eke kudunandana, because his consciousness is always on Krishna. He's not part of this world, really. He's just, like Jesus said, to be in this world, but not of this world. He's here, but his consciousness is somewhere else, in Vrindavan. So whatever he sees here, he sees it very soberly. Here's some opportunity for enjoyment? No, thank you. Here's some tragedy? That is only temporary. It's because we are attached to this world. Like that. So, we're aware of these dangers. We're constantly aware of the danger. So therefore, we're always very focused on our business. We're not like in the material world. It's like, you know, people are going about enjoying, and there's this very thin string holding up one heavy axe above their heads. Like, you're going to be like content. You're going to enjoy. If there's just a little tiniest, barely holding this axe, and you're like, wow, Hare Krishna, Krishna. We should always be, whatever we're doing, we should be in this mood. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And as soon as the danger appears, as soon as the string breaks, the stringa! Why? I haven't scrubbed the pot. There's something there. I haven't fulfilled my Guru Maharaj's desire. I haven't finished my service in this life. Why in a Shringa? Why not? Vamana Dave! Matsya! Kurma! Why? Why especially in a Shringa? Because in a Shringa is the incarnation specifically for protecting his devotee. Each of the Lord's incarnations has a specific function. Vraha, he rescued the earth. Matsya, he rescued the Vedas. And Ram rescued his wife. But the incarnation in the Shringa is specifically to rescue his devotee, who's preacher. Krishna says, there's none more dear to me than those who are preaching my message. And every devotee in Mahaprabhu's movement is a preacher. Of course, we all have different abilities, and we have different time, place, and circumstance. One man's on the street, one Mataji's nursing the child. But as we often say, many hands make small work. The preaching movement is, you've got your frontline soldiers, and you've got the people back home who are supporting it by, you know, various ways. So it's all sankirtan, means the complete glorification. The Sringa is there to protect those devotees. Actually, that was the sole purpose of Nisringa's incarnation, was to protect Pallad. Generally, when Krishna comes, he spends time doing three things: Paritranaya Sadunam, Vinashaya Duduskaram, Dharma Samsta Panartaya. He protects the pious, and he kills the demons, and he spends a lot of time reestablishing religious principles. He already did it. Yes, but this is the world where everything deteriorates. In the spiritual world, everything's always increasing. Ananda Bhuti Bhadavanam. But in this world, the principle, the essence of this world is deterioration, destruction. The end, my friend, of all that ever was. Jim Morrison. The Doors. Wow, scary. Hare Krishna. Yeah, everything from the atom to the universe, kaput at the end. So religious principles are also subject to the same law. They're transcendental, but let's say they become covered by the efforts of the demoniac. We work to establish religious principles, and demoniac people, they work, they're very active, to destroy religious principles. Like Ravan, he gave the order. Or whether it was Hiranyakashipu, because I remember Kalyapani. In the play, this is how he envisioned Kalyapani. He's a great actor. He played the role so well that as Nisringadev, I was ready to tear him apart. And I did. Afterwards, he had a black eye and bruises here and there. That famous play we did at New Mayapur in the 80s. It's on tape. Nostalgia. Thinking of. He said, go to the Earth planet, he was telling his servants. Destroy to the root all the sacred trees. Pollute the sacred fires. Kill the cows. Kill the brahmanas. This is what they do. Krishna says in the Gita, he mentions the demoniac. So many different activities to destroy the world. It's the thing they like to do. So they destroy. So the Lord has to come and reestablish it. Dharmantu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. But for the Lord, no one can enunciate a bona fide process of religion. So he has to come and do it. There's just some things that only the TP can do, only President Bush can do, only Brahma can do, and only God can do. And one thing is to reestablish Dharma. So he does it. But Nisringadev, did he speak the Gita? He spoke some things to Pallad, offering him protection. Basically, he appeared from the pillar. He fought. Hiranyakashipu. He killed him, spoke some words to Prahlad, then... I mean, he wasn't here. Krishna was here 130 some odd years. Ram was here. And Sringa, what was it? Was it a bird or a plane? It was super God. And his sole purpose was to give protection to his devotee. Of course, Lord Nrisingadev has done that. He's appeared many times to protect Prahlad. The pastime we're studying is seventh canto. But, you know, we have, there's other cantos on higher planets. And in Nrisinga Purana, it also is described, he's appeared many times, Nrisingadev. Even here on the earth planet, we have a Hovalam, which was visited by Lord Chaitanya and Ramanujacharya, giving it authority that is a holy place. So each time Nrisingadev appears, the pastime may be a little different. In the Nrisinga Purana, we hear how, instead of coming out of a pillar, one time he comes out of a lotus flower, and one time it's described, he just walks into town. Like the old cowboys, you know, he's walking into town. Nrisingadev just walks into town and say, where's that Hiranyakashipu? And some people say he's in that palace there. Yeah. So Lord Nrisingadev is the deity who protects the devotees from the demoniac, including you. I am my own worst enemy, because I'm maintaining these material desires even after hearing so many instructions on the matter. It's the devil that made me do it. Excuse me, sir. You can't tell the judge, it's the devil that made me do it, Honor. Put the devil in jail. Let me go. No, sir, you're going to jail. Come on. You're a cohort of the devil. You agreed. You part. So we pray to the Lord to come into our hearts like he did Hiranyakashipu and rip out those Hiranyakashipu desires for soft bedding and women. Prabhupada said money and women, or money and men, depending on which side of the room you're sitting on. These are the obstacles on the path of pure devotion to the lotus feet of Sisi Radha Shamsundar. Therefore, this is our relationship with Narasimha Bhagavan. We want him to protect us from ourselves, not from the deep self, but our perceived self as the enjoyer in this world. You please protect me, rip out those desires, and please protect me in, most important, my service to my Guru Maharaj. That, you know, I don't just deliver myself when the world goes to hell, but that, you know, I make enough advancement that I can go out and preach Krishna consciousness and change other people's hearts. Like that. We're praying to that. So whenever there's danger, there's some danger. I may die. That means that preaching may in this world may be somewhat diminished. So please, Prabhupada, I want to serve you, so please can I stay a little longer? Like Prabhupada prayed. The devotees came around him on his deathbed and they, please, Prabhupada, stay. So Prabhupada closed his eyes and then he opened his eyes and Krishna said, I can stay a little bit longer. Like that. So we want to stay longer, not because we're attracted to anything in this world. I have some plans I haven't finished. No, service is not finished. So when that danger comes, we pray to the God who protects us from danger. Ugram viram mahavishnum jvalantam sarvato mukham nasringham bhishanam bhadram mrityor mityam namam yaham. Hey, death of death! I offer my humble obeisances to Lord Nrisingadev, the fierce and powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. His flaming mouth faces in all directions. He's terrifying, yet auspicious, for he is the death of death. What a mantra. That's the Maha Mantra for Nrisinga Bhaktas. Ugram viram maha vishnu valantam shavata umbukam nrisingam vishnam badram dohamidnana. Death of death. So, the Lord is there to protect us, and it's quite clear He'll do so. Of course, we have to remember that protection, like all other kinds of mercy, is given by the Lord in proportion to our surrender to Him. All of them, as they surrender unto me, Krishna says, I reward them accordingly. So if we want full protection, hey, you know, it's A, B, C, D, E, F, G, it's pretty simple. 1 + 1 = 2. We have to be fully surrendered. Atmanivedanam. That's the price we have to pay, so to speak, for full protection. Just like there's different kinds of insurance policies, And according to how much you can pay, you either get partial or you get full coverage. You know, most devotees can't even afford any insurance. They don't have any protection like that. Just like I recently, the Social Security Department, I don't know what it's called, America, they sent me one letter to let me know, because I'm, you know, going into the 60s pretty soon, so then you get to retire, and according to all, you know, they've taken money from your paycheck for so many years, so that they let you know, finally, you get to reap the benefit of sacrificing that money. They put it away. It's kind of a good plan, actually. Then when you six, you get $500 a month for the rest of your life after retirement. So they wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Mr. Tibbetts, we're just informing you of how much you're going to get when you reach 65. And because the last time you worked was 1963, when you were 14 years old, you can expect 23 cents a month for the rest of your life." And I just went, "Hare Krishna." So, as you sow, so shall you reap. I didn't sow any, I wasn't working for anybody, you know. So, your insurance is how much you can pay. You get a partial coverage or full. Actually, I do have insurance. Some of my disciples pay for insurance. And because I'm expatriate, doesn't mean I'm not patriotic. Expat, we call that. It means an American citizen who spends the balance of his time outside of the country. Many Americans do. They work overseas, or they've married and they live overseas, but they still pay their taxes, or they still vote, you know, for Obama or Hillary or somebody like that. So they're called expats, expatriates. So there's a special insurance policy for expatriates, which one of my disciples found, which is like, it's kind of expensive. I think it's $1,500 a year or something like that. I don't know if that's expensive or not as far as insurance. I never looked into it. But I get full coverage to the point even that if I'm in Siberia and I have an accident, this insurance company will arrange a helicopter. They do it through their connections with the military to airlift me out of Siberia to, you know, the first reputable hospital, which I imagine, I hope it's like New York. Not Moscow or something like that. And I have like full coverage up to like, you know, several million dollars, 6 years, and, you know, of course, I hope this never has to happen, but, you know, so it's a good insurance. Of course, the ultimate insurance, of course, is the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev. But should something like that happen? So, you know, we're paying a pretty penny for it, but, you know, that's a service of one of my kind disciples. It covers me everywhere. So, of course, we can't buy into Krishna's offer to protect us, you know. Like, Ambarish Prabhu, he gets full protection because he can pay a higher insurance policy. And, you know, Sika Mahidi here, he's, you know, he just retired. I think he's got the same problems as me, like not much coming back from the government. But no, it's not like that. It's a question of devotion. The Lord protects the devotee who is fully surrendered. That is our, that's the price you have to pay. Just like if there's some danger in a public place, there may be many people, but mother first protects her child. There's so many people, important people, but she first her child, because she loves her child. So similarly, child's not paying some insurance policy to mother. It's natural. So those, Krishna says, "I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone, but one who renders service unto me is a friend, and I'm a friend to him." Prabhupada said, naturally, the Lord responds to the devotion of his children. Just like Jesus said, you have to be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. What does that mean? It means you have to be childlike. That's probably a better word. Childlike in the sense that even as grown-ups, we feel very small and insignificant in front of God. God is very great, and we are very small. So we are dependent upon his mercy. So therefore, when there's danger, we call out, "Pahi, pahi, mahayogin, deva, deva, jagatpate, nanyam twadabhayam pashye, yatra mityu parashparam." Uttara. O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there is no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of death. And mother knows, like babies in the crib, and she wants some attention. Mother's cooking. Let her cry sometimes. I'm there visiting householders. Let her cry. No, don't let her cry. Just figure her up, because I can't stand that sound. Any sound but a crying kid. But if there's some danger, like maybe in India, the snake. Snake is coming, and baby, then the mother drops, the milk spills all over, she runs and picks. So it's the quality. It's not just, you don't think that, oh, I'm chanting, Krishna's hearing. You probably said, this cry, this chant, it's not even a mantra, it's not even a prayer, it's a cry of the heart. Oh, son of Maharaj Nanda, I'm your eternal servant, but somehow I fall into this ocean of birth and death. Please pick me up from this ocean of death and fix me as an atom at your lotus feet. Just now coming. I'm coming. But if you're chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Where was I? Was it Ram, Ram? I'm not going to start over. It's wasting my time. Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. You can chant for millions of lives, Prabhupada said, and not achieve pure devotion. But if you call out to Krishna from your heart with some sincerity, O Govinda, feeling your separation, I'm considering a moment to be like 12 years or more. Tears are flowing from my eyes. I'm feeling all vacant in the world. Krishna. Govindam Adipurusham Tamam Bhajami. That's what it takes. But for that sincerity, you have to have a clean heart. Because that sincerity begins when you give up your selfish nature of maintaining material desires. So we hanker for that stage. Actually, Krishna consciousness is more about love than it is just cleaning the heart. Then we'll really be happy. We're happy getting a clean heart. But really, Krishna consciousness is much more than just about cleansing the heart, lust and anger. It's more about relishing this transcendental relationship with the Lord, like Bhivamohan Gaul Thakur said. Now that I'm enjoying this ever-fresh ras with Krishna, when I think about how I used to engage in sex life in this material world, I spit at the thought. So we also have to come to the point of spitting. That spitting's allowed. Don't do it in public, but in the privacy of your bhajan kutir. What's that? That's my spittoon, Prabhu. That's gross. It is gross. It's full of my lust, my anger, my greed. Please dump it out in the field. Because I've given it up now, and now it's only Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey! That's when Krishna consciousness begins. So that appeal, when the Lord hears that appeal from the heart, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the universe, you are the greatest of mystics, please protect me. For there's no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of death. Then, Lord, he responds fully. There's many lessons like that. Different liberated souls put themselves in what appears to be compromising positions just to teach us. Because, you know, we need the example. There's the philosophy, but it's all a little vague. Not vague, it's very clear, but we need, like, an example. They say example is higher than precept. No. Example is equal to precept. We have the Bhagavatam, and we have the person Bhagavatam. What's person Bhagavatam? Person personifies the teachings of the Shastra. And who is that? That's a guru. Guru means one who knows the philosophy and demonstrates it by his example. He must be very expert in the conclusion of Shastra, tad vikanatam sa gurum eva bhikkhuchet. He must know the Shastra and he must be it. So we have both to look for. He probably said you have one or the other. You can become perfect. If you've got both, hey, you're got good chances there. So we have an example. What's an example of? I can think of an example where a devotee demonstrated how Lord responded to full surrender. And Draupadi. Once Draupadi approached Krishna just after her painful experience of having been lost in the gambling match by her husbands. What are you going to bet now? My wife. And the wife's going, excuse me? You're betting me? But the lila was that the Pandavas were addicted, quote unquote, to this gambling. And you know how this addiction is, and people sacrifice their fortunes, their reputation. Then instead of just shoving some gold coins, they put Draupadi there. And they lost. And that personification of chastity and devotion and purity, emblem for every woman on this planet, Srimati Draupadi, that Dushasan, we hate to even say his name, Dushasan attempted to humiliate her and her husbands by stripping her naked in assembly of great warriors. What could be more humiliating? A woman is never to be naked in front of anyone save and except her husband. That's Vedic injunction. And that chaste girl, imagine humiliation. She would die from the humiliation. Die of embarrassment, there's that saying. To die of embarrassment, a chaste girl. Oh, and that Dushasan, he untied her sacred hair. Women, they keep their hair, as men keep the hair shaved or short for work. A woman always keeps her hair tied back or covered, never loose. It's always tied or covered. This is a sign of her chastity. And Chanaka Pandit said, the beauty of a bird is its sweet notes. The beauty of an ugly person may be their scholarship. The beauty of a saintly person is his ability to forgive others. And the beauty of a woman is her shyness and chastity. It attracts even the Lord. Even a saintly person is attracted to that. Renunciation from this world with a desire to advance in Krishna consciousness. He untied her hair. Then he took her sari, Dushasan. He paid his life for this, actually. He had a terrible death. And all his other brothers, they also had to die for this. The whole Kuru dynasty was destroyed for just touching the hair of that woman in an unchaste way. What a culture. Such a wonderful culture, Krishna consciousness. And then he took her sari, and he started to pull it in the public assembly. It took some time for Lord to come and save her. So she approached Krishna. She said, Lord, why did you take so long to save me? And Krishna said, listen carefully, Draupadi. When Dushasan started pulling on your sari, first you took shelter of Arjun and Bhim. You said, Arjun, Bhim, can't you see what is happening to your wife? They are violating my chastity right before your eyes. Do something. So I thought at that time I wasn't really needed. You didn't call me. This is an instructive lila. After that, you turned to Drona, the teacher of the Kauravas and the Pandavas in martial arts. You said, Drona, you're a Brahmana. How can you tolerate this? You weren't calling me. I thought I wasn't really needed. After that, you turned to Bhishma, the powerful warrior and most respected grandfather. When he wouldn't help you, you even went to Dhritarashtra. And then one by one to all the kings. And finally, you tried to protect yourself by holding on to your sari with two hands. I thought, she thinks she's very strong. She thinks she can fight Dushasan. Perhaps I should go now. Then you threw up one of your hands and called to me. And I thought, Draupadi's calling me, but she's still holding on to her sari with one hand, believing in her own strength, Only when you raise both of your hands and call out to me, Hey Krishna, Hey Govinda, help, did I come. Why? Because I saw that you understood that only I could save you, and I was your only and sole shelter. Mother Draupadi ki. Yeah. So this is Leela, of course. She's fully surrendered. But teaching us, thank Lord we have these teachers. Therefore we offer so much devotion to our teachers. This is Vedic culture. So much respect and devotion, because Krishna is very... Prabhupada said, I do not know who is Krishna. I only know my Guru Maharaj. So we're indebted, so indebted to Srila Prabhupada for teaching us this type of devotion. So again, this protection is in proportion to our surrender, so we have to be surrendered and not take this protection that we're getting. Because even if you're not pure devotee, you still get protection. You still got a good insurance policy in Krishna consciousness. Krishna says to the faithless, Oh ye of little faith. He doesn't say that. The Bible says that. But he says, Asarva dharmam paricchaja mamekam saranam braja aham tam sarva papebhyo moksis masuchaha. Hey, just you, all of you, not you, but just abandon all varieties of sin and surrender to me. I will protect you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. He's going to protect them from the results of millions and millions of lives of sinful activity. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to anybody in this room. He's talking to the kids at the University of Florida. He's talking to the governor of this state. He's talking to the people of France. He's talking to the whole Korea. Stop. And raise a white flag, no matter how atrocious your activities were before the war. If you raise the white flag, according to the Geneva Convention, you're supposed to get full protection. You've been a prisoner of war, but we're going to give you food, we're going to give you shelter and clothing and medicine. After the war, we'll decide your fate. But that's the white, even in mundane society, at least in previous wars, now it's just all hell breaks loose, but you raise the white flag. So if you raise the white flag, Krishna, I'm sorry. All right, come on. And you become his bosom friend. What kind of friend is that? You just, like the Christians say, repent and ye shall be saved. That's the same principle. The same principle is there in any true bona fide. Repentance is there, desire to change. Jagai and Madai, they repented. These were bad guys. They were mean. The Lord embraced them. He took their sins in his own heart. His body turned black. So protection is there. So we all have some protection, but let us not abuse it. If he protects his servants, it's to allow them to sit peacefully in this great country of the United States of America. Well, you can sit peacefully here. There's so many places. I keep telling everyone, there's so many places that I travel. You cannot sit peacefully and chant Hare Krishna. You always have to be worried. That knock on the door. And, you know, the Secret Service or whatever. What are you doing? I'm chanting God's name. You villain. You're going to jail. There was one Mataji for chanting in Turkmenistan. They gave her 15 years. Solitary confinement. There's places like that. In China, you have to be careful. They're a little tolerant with us, but they told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, we're just tolerating you. He said, like our pigs. Pig becomes too fat, then we slaughter. So TKG understood. Don't become too big. We'll tolerate you. But you can imagine, you can't go out in Harinam. They're praying for the day that they can go out and chant their hearts out on the streets. And you know, we organize a Sankirtan and only a few people show up. What is this? We are so fortunate in this country that, you know, our devotees also went through some austerities in this country for some time, the anti-cult. But now we can wake up and we can chant and dance and sing, and we're so fortunate. So we are being protected. Let us not abuse that protection. Let us take advantage of every minute. Just like a president pardons the convicted killer with the understanding he's going to be a good and useful citizen. So if we receive the Lord's protection, it's for doing some serious bhajan and some serious preaching. And if we're doing so according to our capacity, we have nothing to fear in this world of death. And when it comes time to die, we should also understand that's God's will, and we shouldn't, you know, hang on unnecessarily. Like, protect me, protect me. Hey, Baba, it's time to go. The protection part's finished. Just as God can prolong our life for service, he may end our lives for the very same reason, for service. What? End our life for service? Isn't that our service is our services end when we die? No. He reasons ill who says that Vaishnavs die when thou art living still and sound. A Vaishnav dies to live, and while living tries to spread the holy name around. For death is just for us like a new chapter of service. And if we're fortunate, death means the beginning of an eternal life of service in the spiritual world. So we won't be asking for protection forever. Lord, let him decide. Like Prabhupada said, let me ask Krishna. He says I can stay long. If Lord may have a different plan. Just like Prabhupada wrote to Jayananda after his departure. He said, Krishna was very kind. He took away your diseased body and gave you a form which is just suitable to your desires to serve him elsewhere. This realization I shared yesterday with Mother Mitravinda. I went to see her yesterday. And I said the same thing. I said, Mataji, you've done so much service. You've raised these beautiful children. You've done so much service in the community for the devotees, your elderly. You know, you've done your duty. You've had a full life in Krishna consciousness of service. So it appears Lord wants to take you away. Don't hold on. You're going to be joining him for another service now. Time to change your service, to be prepared. And I quoted what one senior devotee told me, that Prabhupada told him, that when we get back to the spiritual world, Krishna's waiting for us. He said, Prabhupada said, spiritual master is waiting. And he takes your hand, and he leads you into the grove where Krishna is, and he puts your hand in Krishna's hand and leaves you together alone. So I told her, let go now. That's waiting for you. You let go of all this and just... And then she closed her eyes, and we had one nice kirtan service. So nothing to lament. This offer of protection of the Lord in this verse today to Prahlad is for all of us, but it's for a certain time, up and until we finish the business of cleansing the heart and spending the balance of our time, as far as possible, helping Śrīla Prabhupāda spread this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Grantara Shrimad Bhagavatam ki.